الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن نبينا وحبيبنا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولقد آتيناك سبعا من المثاني والقرآن العظيم. صدق الله العظيم.
Respected brothers, elders and friends, undoubtedly it is an accepted fact and an irrefutable reality that every verse and every chapter of the Holy Quran is indeed the undoubted precise word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every verse carries such a beautiful message, has a profound and powerful impact on the hearts of humanity. And if we then study the noble ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we will then understand that there are certain verses and there are certain chapters in the Holy Quran that have been selected by Allah Rabbul Izzah. They enjoy extra merit and virtue. They have been given some extra importance by Allah Rabbul Izzah. Amongst these chapters and verses is a very short chapter that consists of just 7 short verses. Yet this chapter of the Holy Quran was chosen to be the opening chapter of the Holy Quran. This chapter was chosen to be that surah that is recited in every rak'ah of every salah, whether it's obligatory or non-obligatory prayer. This is that surah of the Holy Quran that summarizes the entire message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, commentators of Quran explain, he who intends to understand and make an effort to understand the message of Allah and to understand and appreciate the message of the Holy Quran, he first needs to begin with Surah Al-Fatiha. This surah is known as also the surah of praise, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exhibits his true glory and praise. This is also known to be the chapter of mercy, in which Allah Rabbul Izzah makes manifest his boundless, limitless mercy. It is the surah known as the surah of shifa, the chapter of cure, that serves as a remedy for all spiritual, also physical maladies and illnesses. Let us ask ourselves this question. Daily we recite the surah in every rak'ah of every salah. And every one of us, we all have committed this entire surah to memory. And we are able to recite it at any given time of the day or the night. But have we really made an effort to understand the message of this noble surah of the Quran? Of course, we can't go into details regarding every lesson that is derived from this surah, but at least let's make an effort to get a basic understanding of the message of Surah Al-Fatiha. It is indeed the summary of the entire Quran. One Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by the name of Abu Sa'id, he narrates that one day I was engaged in salah in the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The paragon of Allah's creation passes. He sees me engaged in salah and he calls me. فَخَفَّفْتُ salati. I curtailed the length of my salah. Upon making salam, I immediately went to him. Ya Rasulullah, you call me? Yes, indeed. O Messenger of Allah, can I do anything for you? He takes hold of my hand and he tells me, I call you for one purpose. أَلَا أُعَلِّمُكَ أَعْظَمَ سُورَةٍ فِي الْقُرْآنِ. Do you want to know which is the greatest and the most magnificent surah of the Holy Quran? We can't understand and even imagine the zeal and the enthusiasm of Sahaba to learn about deen. He gets excited. Yes, Ya Rasulullah, please do so. Nabi alayhi salam tells him, the greatest surah of the Quran is that surah that consists of these seven often recited verses, namely Surah Al-Fatiha. Abu Sa'id Al-Khudri radiyallahu anhu, another great illustrious companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, narrates, and his hadith appeared in Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, that once a group of men was sent out in a certain expedition. During their travel, they camped at a certain station. Near that camping site lived a tribe whose leader was afflicted by a very poisonous reptile. And he was in a very critical condition. So they were extremely concerned about his health and his condition. So immediately they approached the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. هَلْ مَنْ يَرْقِي? Does any one of you know how to treat this person who is in a very pitiable and critical condition? Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, the narrator of this incident, he takes up this daunting, challenging task. He says, yes, don't worry, I will sort it out for you. He goes ahead, he sees this man in this pitiable condition. What does he do? Hadith of Sahih Bukhari, he recites Surah Al-Fatiha. According to one narration, he recited Surah Fatiha 7 times in the morning, 7 times in the evening. And this treatment extended for a period of 3 days. 7 times Surah Fatiha in the morning, 7 times Surah Fatiha in the evening, for a period of 3 days. فَبَرِئَ At the end of this treatment, the Rawi or the narrator states, he totally recovered from his illness. This incident is a reflection, a manifestation of the high level of yaqeen, conviction in the words of Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that nothing can be more effective, more powerful than the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us for a few minutes try to get a brief, basic understanding of this message and the various lessons given to us in this surah. Allah Rabbul Izzah commences by saying, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. This is the opening verse of the Holy Quran, in which Allah Rabbul Izzah makes it very clear to you and I that we are not worthy of any praise in this world. All praise goes back to Allah. Whatever bounty we enjoy, in whichever form it may be, remember the giver is Allah and the taker also is Allah. Therefore only praise Allah. Only Allah is worthy of being praised. Alhamd. If we have to linguistically analyze this word Alhamd, we will be really astonished to see the vastness and the richness of its meaning. That this is that word that combines the meaning of praise and thanks. As if we are telling Allah, Ya Rabb, O our Creator, O our Lord, our Sustainer, we extend our gratitude to you. We show our appreciation by attributing every praise to you. Only you are worthy of being praised. Alhamdulillah. Then if you go in the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we open the authentic books of ahadith, we will be really taken aback to see the greatness of this statement and the power of this statement, Alhamdulillah. What does Nabi alayhi salam say? أَفْضَلُ الدُّعَاءَ Alhamdulillah. The best supplication a servant can present to his creator is the statement, Alhamdulillah, all praise belongs to Allah. Nabi alayhi salam says in one narration, Subhanallah walhamdulillah. These two statements, glory be to Allah, praise be to Allah, tamla'ani ma bayna as-sama'i wal-ard. It covers the distance between the heaven and the earth. In one narration, Nabi alayhi salam says, Inna Allah la yarda 'anil 'abd. Allah loves that servant of his. Which servant? What is mentioned thereafter? Not the one who is engaged in salah the entire night or fasting every day. Yes, of course, he too as well. This narration talks about that person when he has a morsel of food. And he realizes that this is my rizq which Allah has granted me. He appreciates the value of this morsel of food. And then he says, Alhamdulillah. Oh Allah, I praise you for giving me this food. Allah loves that person who praises him. So in the opening verse of the glorious Quran, Allah teaches you and I how to praise him, how to glorify him by engaging in tasbih and hamd, by saying Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Praise belongs to Allah. That powerful being whose name is so powerful, the Nabi alayhi salam says, hadith of Sahih Muslim, لا تقوم الساعة, that this world will not come to an end. Qiyamah will not be able to come as long as there is one person on the surface of this earth saying, Allah, Allah.
Have you understood the greatness and the power of these names of Allah? Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, the very first Quranic attribute of Allah that is recorded in the first opening verse of the Holy Quran is the attribute of Rabb. Allah is the Rabb of every world. And remember, there are certain Quranic words that cannot be literally translated. Amongst those words comes the word Rabb. And scholars, commentators of Quran explain, what is the real meaning of Rabb? That powerful being who brings someone from nothing and makes him into something. At one stage, we did not exist in this world. Allah brought us into existence, took care of us, nurtured us. Still Allah is doing so. Allah clearly mentions, He is the Rabb of Al-Alameen, of every world. Whether it's the animal world, the jinn world, the angel world, the human world. Scientists have explained that there are approximately between 500 billion to 3.2 trillion planets in a single galaxy. And approximately 500 billion galaxies, if not more, this is what has been discovered, makes up one universe. Allah is the Rabb of the entire universe. All these planets, galaxies put together, not even equals the tip of a needle in the eyes of Allah. So this is the first lesson given to us in Surah Fatiha, that apply your mind and try to ponder over the creation of Allah. Understand who is Allah. Allah in the Quran mentions to us that you have not recognized who is your creator. Allah wants us to recognize His majesty, His grandeur, His supremacy, that we should turn to Allah in every matter of life. Then the next, second opening verse of the Holy Quran. Very often in this world, when a person enjoys a very lofty, high position, and he has muscle, strength, and he has some authority over others, he then becomes very hard, harsh, he's not approachable. To get to him, there's so many protocols. You have to make an appointment. If you are lucky, you'll be able to have a meeting with him. Sometimes he won't see to your needs. Allah reminds us in the opening verses of the Holy Quran that Allah is the most powerful. All power belongs to Allah, yet He is the most merciful. Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. One who is intensively merciful. One who is extensively merciful. Allah is the most kind and the most merciful. You and I cannot comprehend the vastness of the mercy of our Creator. Allah's mercy has no limit. وَرَحْمَتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ Allah mentioned, My rahmah encompasses everything. Repeatedly in the Quran, Allah reminds us of His mercy. Never lose hope. Never become despondent. Allama Zafar Ahmad Tanwi rahimahullah, a very great scholar of Deoband. He has written about another very great alim, genius and giant of his time, who is the founder and the principal of Darul Ulum Deoband, Hazrat Allama Muhammad Qasim Nanotvi rahimahullah. He had a Hindu neighbor who was constantly involved in idol worship. And after a few years, this neighbor of his passed away. And a few days after his demise, Hazrat Mawlana Qasim Nanotvi sees a dream of this neighbor. He sees him swimming in the rivers of Jannah, enjoying the bounties of Allah in paradise. He was really astonished and taken aback. He goes to him in his dream that, Oh, Baisab, you are in Jannah. You are enjoying the bounties of Allah in Jannah. You died as an idolater, as a Hindu. So this man tells him, Let me tell you what had transpired in the court of Allah. And then he relates to him what happened between him and Allah after he had left this world. He says, daily you would recite Quran before the Fajr Salah. I would enjoy the recitation of the Holy Quran. Remember, he was a Hindu and idolater. And daily I would express this wish and desire to myself. How nice it could have been if I could also be in his position reciting Quran every morning. This is the effect of the words of Allah. And he said that he always had this desire to accept Islam, but he feared that his family will disown him. His family will punish him. Therefore he chose to remain firm upon his religion. However, when he was in his last few days, about to leave this world, about to enter the pangs and the agony of death, he realized that these are my last few chance, my last few minutes. So let me now take the name of Allah. Let me express my iman. So on his deathbed, he said, Oh Khuda of Qasim, I address you. That Qasim who that Khuda who Qasim would call on to every morning, I now bring iman in you. And I bring iman in the Quran that Qasim would recite every morning. I did not even know that this was a statement made to enter the fold of Islam. Nonetheless, I passed away in that condition. I enter the court of Allah. Allah tells me, you got no sin recorded going to Jannah. Look at the mercy of Allah. Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. This is the second opening verse of the Holy Quran. Then in the third next verse, which is the third opening verse of the Holy Quran, Allah now draws our attention to the day of requital and judgment, the day of reckoning and accountability, where every person will have to stand in the court of Allah and answer for the deeds that he has done in this world. Maliki yawm al-deen. On that day, Allah is the sole owner and master. No one will have the courage to even say a word without the permission of Allah. Allah reminds us repeatedly in the Holy Quran and in every rak'ah of every salah that, oh man, your lifespan is very, very short in this world. This world is your temporary abode. Your final everlasting abode is that of the year after. Do not get deceived by the glitter and glamour of this world. Don't get befooled by the temptations of nafs and shaitan. Remember, a time will come, you will have to stand in the court of Allah. Nabi alayhi salam describes that condition. لَيْسَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَهُ تَرْجُمَانِ. No interpreter, no translator. Each one will have to answer for his deeds alone in the court of Allah. Aisha radiallahu anha once posed a question for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Nabi of Allah, daily we recite this dua. Allahumma hasibni hisaban yasira. O Allah, grant me an easy hisab, an easy reckoning. What is meant by this? Nabi alayhi salam explains, O Aisha, innama dhalikil ard. Hisab yasir refers to ard, where a person's actions are presented in the court of Allah. Allah doesn't question him. Gives him the ticket to enter Jannah, you have passed. وَلَكِنْ مَنْ نُوْقِشْ عُذِّبْ. If Allah has to open any person's book of deeds and has to go through the list of his actions, surely that person is subjected to a very severe chastisement and punishment in the Akhirah. مَالِكِ يَوْمِ الدِّينِ. Allah reminds us again and again, this world is a place of deception. Remember the enjoyment, the pleasures of this dunya. Likewise, the difficulties and atrocities of this dunya compared to that of the year after is totally incomparable. Cannot be compared. A very great scholar of hadith, Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahimahullah, who authored the most famous commentary of Sahih Bukhari, and he was the chief judge of the Supreme Court of Egypt. He was once traveling with a large convoy. Together with him were his disciples, his followers, his students. And he was traveling in this way, servants, attendants, waiting for an instruction to be directed to them to serve him and make his khidmah. Like this, he passes by a very weak, poor, feeble, downtrodden non-Muslim standing at the corner of the road, who sees Ibn Hajar rahimahullah traveling with this large group. So he waves towards Ibn Hajar, tries to capture his attention. So the Imam goes towards him. Hal min haja, do you require any assistance? He says, yes indeed. Go ahead, what is it? I have a question to ask you regarding a narration that I heard about your prophet, which he has said regarding your condition and my condition in this world. What is it? The hadith that has been reported in many books, Ad-Dunya Sijnul Mu'min wa Jannatul Kafir, that this world is a believer's prison. It's the paradise for a disbeliever. He then tells this great Imam of hadith, look at my condition, struggling the entire day to make ends meet. I can't provide a simple meal for myself. Look at your condition, living in comfort and luxury. Servants at your beck and call, ready and prepared to help and assist you. How can this ever be your prison and my paradise? Where's the logic behind it? Ibn Hajar rahimahullah gives him an amazing answer. He says, perhaps you misunderstood the narration of my prophet. What did my prophet mean when he said, this world is my prison and your paradise? That when I will enter my permanent everlasting abode of Jannah, and I will see the comforts of Jannah, and the bounties of Allah in paradise, and the beauty of Jannah, I will then realize that this world, together with all the glitter and glamour of this world, all the comforts and luxuries compared to Jannah, was nothing but like a prison. And when a disbeliever will enter his final abode, the blazing hot fire of Jahannam, and he will see the azab of Allah given to the people of Jahannam. He will then realize and be convinced that this world, together with all the atrocities and difficulties, the various challenges and conditions compared to his abode of Jahannam, was nothing but like paradise. This man hears this answer, dumbfounded, astonished. Immediately he says, "Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah." If that is the case, I declare Allah is one and He is my God. So, Maliki yawmiddin, Allah reminds us repeatedly in the Holy Quran and in every rak'ah, every salah, Allah is reminding us again and again. Then remember, a time will come, you will have to endure the pangs and the agony of death. You will have to meet Allah on the day of judgment. Therefore, prepare for the journey after death. Then the next verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala corrects our belief system, rectifies our yaqeen. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. And daily we address Allah saying, we worship you alone and we only ask you for help. This is one of those fundamental principles of Islam, a core belief of every Muslim, that help only comes from Allah. What does Nabi alayhi salam say to Ibn Abbas? If everyone has to gather to benefit you, they will never be able to do so. Likewise, if they try to harm you, they will never be able to cause you any harm, except that which Allah has ordained for you. Look at the battle of Ahzab and Khandaq, the battle of the trench. Sahaba radiallahu anhum, cornered from every side, surrounded from every side and corner. Armies have gathered against them with the intention of invading their land, taking their women and their children as captives and slaves, killing every Muslim. People come to them, إِنَّ النَّاسَ قَدْ جَمَعُوا لَكُمْ فَخْشُوهُمْ. The army has gathered around you. They're waiting to enter Medina Munawwara. Be very careful. What was the reaction of Sahaba? What was the approach? They had firm conviction and certitude. Firm belief in the words of Allah. حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. Only Allah can help us. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. We only will ask Allah for help. And we saw Allah's help had come to them. And the mushrikeen were defeated. So daily Allah corrects our belief. And Allah wants us to make an effort on our iman, effort on this yaqeen, to such an extent that it becomes embedded, entrenched in the deep recesses of our hearts. And the last few verses, the last three verses of the surah, Allah teaches us a very beautiful, a very concise, but very comprehensive dua. And that is the dua for hidayat, guidance, which refers to divine celestial light that Allah puts in the heart of a believer. We are believers and we ask Allah for guidance. What is meant by that guidance? Guidance to the right path, the path of those who have been blessed by Allah, where a person can differentiate between what is right and what is wrong. Nurun yumayyizu bihi bayna al-haqq wal-batil, which is one of the greatest challenges of this day and age, to know what is right and know what is wrong, to make a difference between haqq and batil. Therefore, dua for guidance is extremely necessary in this day and age. So again, to summarize the various lessons in the surah, the first ayah, Allah talks about His majesty and grandeur. Then Allah draws our attention to His mercy, and then the everlasting life of the year after, and correcting our belief, our yaqeen, and then teaching us this dua of hidayat. We ask Allah Rabbul Izzah to give us the ability to spend some time in understanding the Quran, making an effort to understand the divine noble message of the Quran. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.